There is an outline. If you did receive one, I think they're back on the stand over there. And if you didn't get one, you're very welcome to one. Going through a series of lessons, and we finished the one on answering the question, why didn't my Savior come to earth? And several weeks ago, I gave you just the verses to find, or the, probably more than I, or more than what I did find, but I just read those to you on why did Jesus die? A scriptural answer for those. Last Sunday, we answered it in the first way with John chapter 3, verse 16. The Father's love. I gave you a task or analysis of the verse, went through word by word for the Father's love and why Jesus died. God so loved the world, He gave His Son. This evening, I thought I'd pursue a question that I kind of want to make sure I was, I could give an answer for about the separation, Jew and Gentile. Why did that separation never take place to begin with? And so that's what I've tried to do with your notes this evening. For the text, Ephesians 2, verse 18, for through Him, meaning Jesus, we both, meaning Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. All right, so let's look at both, Jew and Gentile. So here's the background. I gave you a couple other verses in Ephesians chapter 2 for the introduction. But there's the background on how did that separation start, or what was the cause of it. In Genesis chapter 10, it gives a table of nations. Genesis chapter 10, after the flood. And over 70 are mentioned in that chapter, and they're named. And out of which would come the Hebrews. So there's our first word for the Hebrews. In Genesis 10, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but highlight a couple of verses. Verse 1. Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were, and then the names are listed. In verse 5, it says, from these the coastline peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands. Now we have the word Gentiles. Separated. In verse 5, everyone according to his language, according to their families, into their nations. So now we have nations after the flood. In verse 6, the sons of Ham were, and they're listed. In verse 10, it says, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And then it lists several other countries after that where the descendants of Ham were located. And then in verse it says, from that land he went to Assyria. So now you're seeing the spread of the people or the nations. In verse 20, these were the sons of Ham according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands and in their nations. So the nations again. Verse 21, still Genesis chapter 10. Children were born also to Shem, the third son. Verse 31. These were the sons of Shem, according to their family, according to their languages, according to their lands, according to their nations. Verse 32. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, in their nations. From these, the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. Right? So nations were divided on the earth after the flood. So now we have a population. Remember, over 70 peoples are mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. In chapter 11, the chapter keys on the son of Noah named Shem. So it says, this is the genealogy of Shem. And then you have a list of names, and in verse 26, it says, now Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. All right, three children from Terah. One of them is Abram. So now we have a name that we're familiar with, Abram. In verse 32, 31 rather, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife. They went out with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. So now we see the spread of the nations. And then we're going to have the call of Abraham from Ur of Chaldea. Goes up around the desert through that fertile crescent at the north. Then they come down into Canaan's land. Then there's a promise given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, the next chapter. Chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, a great nation." Oh, so now we're going to see this, the start of that separation. God's going to choose one nation from all the others and bless it. "So I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth." The foretaste, when it finally gets to the seed, meaning Jesus. When all, going to all the world. But he starts with Abram and this promise. "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him." In verse 5, Genesis chapter 12. "So they came to the land of Canaan." So we know the land that was promised to Abraham was the land of Canaan. Verse 7. "The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' So there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." All right, so now we see after the flood, the genealogies, the gathering of the spread of nations, and then from those nations, one is chosen, and that's Shem and Abram from that genealogy of Shem. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 13, it gives a phrase, and I listed this because it simply says Abram the Hebrew. So that's the first time we hear that, the Hebrew. So when we see it refer to those Old Testament people, they were first referred to as the Hebrews. In Genesis 17, beginning of verse 1, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I will make my covenant between me and you.'" Oh, separation from the Hebrew to from the all the 69 so other nations that are listed. "My covenant is between me and you, Abram. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham." In verse 9, "Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant and your descendants after you throughout your generations." So there's the promise that God gives to the Hebrew, Abram, or later called Abraham. Abraham has a son named Isaac. Isaac has a son named Jacob, as you know. And Jacob has 12 sons, and they become the tribes. So in Genesis 32, verse 28, God says, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." So now the Hebrews are now known as Israelites. You can use either name, but Abram, the Hebrew, and now Jacob's name is changed to Israel. So now the descendants would be referred to as Israelites. So the separation is also noted in the giving of the law. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 1, right before they go into the promised land, Moses called all Israel, said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb." Okay, so now that covenant, now we have not just a covenant, the promise with Abraham, but now a law with the Israelites, being Moses and those that were there in Horeb. Moses gives some added information in Deuteronomy 7. I'm going to do a lot of reading for you tonight. I give you references, but I'd like to read the whole story so you get between the lines, so to speak. Right. So Deuteronomy 7, beginning at verse 1. Again, this is when Moses' last words before they go into the promised land. So when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, there's a separation. Not we're just giving the law, but even when you go into the land, separate yourself from the nations. The Hittites, and they mention them. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites and Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. When the Lord your God delivers them over to you, oh, they're not going to like that. There's going to be a separation. Says, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Verse 3. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For, in verse 4, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Verse 5. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, burn their carved images with fire. For, here's the separation again, you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And then the next phrase, the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself. So again, we see phrases. What caused this separation, Jew and Gentile? It goes back to the call of Abram, and then changing Jacob's name to Israel, now they're called Israelites. Then we saw the separation in giving the law, and now Moses tells them when you go into the land, there's still a separation. You don't make any covenant with them. Orby's going to get an outline for you. So then it says, the Lord has chosen, verse 6, chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord, last verse, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. All right, so but God chose, starting after the flood, singles out Abram, and then Isaac, Jacob, and then the Israelites, and then that continues on with Joseph in Egypt, the Exodus, the law at Sinai, a separation, my covenant between me and you. Moses reviews that again. God made a covenant with us, the Israelites, at Horeb. You see the separation again between God's people and all other nations. Then just kind of put in a side note for you, because we started out with Abram the Hebrew, Jacob's name changed to Israel, and then we wonder where did the name Jews come from. It's first mentioned at the end of the Babylonian captivity when the southern kingdom Judah is captured by Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and taken back to Babylon. At the end of the 70 years captivity, after Babylon is taken over by Persia, the Medes and the Persians, Cyrus is now the king of Persia, and he's allowing the people to go back to the promised land to rebuild the walls and the city and the temple. And so the phrase that it's mentioned, Nehemiah 1, verse 2, Hananiah, one of my brethren, Nehemiah says, came with the men from Judah. I asked them, so the people in promised land came back to Babylon and gave a report, and Nehemiah hears about it. So Nehemiah said, Hananiah, tell me about what's going on in Jerusalem. So he says, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, meaning had left Babylon to go back to Jerusalem, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So Nehemiah wants to know, what about the people there, the Jews? So evidently, the word Jews became a name for those that survived the captivity after the end of 7 years, the southern kingdom of Judah. So instead of being called Judas, they're Jews. So that's where that word, this is the first time the word is used in the Old Testament. at the end of the 70-year captivity. It's also mentioned in Esther, chapter 3. Esther was involved with the king of Persia, with Artaxerxes. And it says, you know, she said, instead, in Esther 3, verse 6, instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. So now the people became known as Jews. They start out as Abram, the Hebrew. Jacob's name changed to Israel. And now at the end of the 70-year captivity, they're called Jews. The southern kingdom of Judah survived. So now we've come across the next word is Gentile. So now we know the separation of Israelites or the Jews from the other nations. But now we have Gentiles. And that's used when referring to non-Jewish nations. Or in contrast to the Jews. Any nation. Just in contrast to the Jews. In Luke 21, verse 24, Jesus mentioned about the destruction of Jerusalem. He says, Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles. The Gentiles. So we have that word. In John chapter 4, verse 9, you're familiar with the woman at the well. Jesus meets her there. And then, verse says, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for the Jews have no dealings with Samaria. Uh-oh. So now we see that separation still existing, even during Jesus' earthly ministry. After the church was established in Acts chapter 9, with the conversion of Saul, later to become the Apostle Paul, in Acts 9:15, the Lord said to him, meaning Ananias, go, for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles. So we see that separation existing, the Jew, Gentile. So Saul, I'm going to call you. You're going to become the Apostle Paul. You preach to the Gentiles and to the house of Israel too. In Acts 10, verse 28, the story of Peter and the household of Cornelius. Peter said to them, meaning the household of Cornelius, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So now we're going to see that separation coming together, and that's going to be in our text in Ephesians chapter 2. So you still see there was that division, that God's chosen people, Hebrew, Israelites, Jew, and then everybody else. So we see that. So now in our text, and I just put those three verses in your introduction, where the first verse, you know, we ask the question, why did Jesus die? But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood. Jesus, why'd you die? To bring the two together, Jew and Gentile, all the other nations. In verse 14, for he himself, meaning Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one. Jew and Gentile. All, Gentile meaning all the other nations that are not Jew. In verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. I just outlined the chapter that I'm just going to read it for you, and then you can look at the notes as I read, just to illustrate this. Right. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin at verse 11. So I put in your notes, Paul doesn't write it the way I put in the notes, like an encyclopedia. You know, this equals that. This, you have to go from one verse to another and kind of put them together. That's what I did for you in the notes. All right, chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, at that time you were without Christ, the Gentiles, being aliens from the covenant of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. Remember, the covenant was only between God and Abram. And then at Sinai, Moses and the Israelites, having no hope,
wow,
and without God in the world, they were the other nations, besides the ones that God, besides the Hebrew, the Israelites, the Jew. But in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself, meaning Jesus, is our peace, our Jew and Gentile, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Jesus, why did you die? To abolish the enmity. We died. The law and the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, Jew, Gentile, thus making peace. And, verse 16, continues, Jesus, why did you die? And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Gospel is for all. Go to all the world. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Jesus, why did you die? Remember that separation we just read from all through the Old Testament? Beginning after the flood, the generations, the separation of generations, and from those God chose one, the son of Terah, Abram, and gave a promise, a covenant promise to Abram. Later changed, he's a Hebrew. Then it became Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. His son changed, his name was changed to Israel. I'm going to give you a quick review here. And then Jacob had 12 sons. Those sons became heads of tribes, 12 tribes of Israel. And then when they divided after Saul, David, and Solomon, the kingdom was a united kingdom. Then they divided, and in 1 Kings chapter 12, Solomon's son, 10 tribes did not want Solomon's son to be king, so they called up Jeroboam from Egypt, and he became king of the north, which was the kingdom of Israel, with 10 tribes. The southern kingdom was ruled by Rehoboam, Solomon's son, the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. From those north and the south, the wickedness prevailed, basically idolatry. So God said, I'm going to put you in captivity. And so in the year 721 B.C., the northern kingdom was taken away by Assyria. And in 606 B.C., Babylon came in, and for a 20-year siege of Jerusalem, the southern kingdom of Judah, from 606 to 586 B.C. So they were taken captive over to Babylon. That captivity of the southern kingdom of Judah lasted 70 years. At the end of 70 years, Babylon was overtaken by Cyrus, the king of Persia. And Cyrus issued a decree. And by the way, that decree is listed specifically in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. It tells you what the decree is. I will let you go. And then Cyrus gives them bounty and stuff for their journey to save revival. People come back, and Nehemiah hears about it, so he says, tell me about the Jews. So there was our third word. And then other people went back, Zechariah, Malachi, Ezra, Zerubbabel, several others went back to Nehemiah. He went back to rebuild the walls. Ezra was the preacher. They rebuilt the temple in the city. And then that ends the Old Testament story. And so for the next 400 years, there's not a Bible account of history. We have the history, but not the Bible account. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John begin with the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus. And then the church in the book of Acts. So there's your Bible history. All right, so we see where the separation is. And so once Jesus dies, he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So that's the commission, and that's the truth. And the two. So now all those nations, all nations can become one in Christ Jesus. And that's the text of Ephesians chapter 2. At the close of the lesson, we always sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. And we'll do that again this evening. Next week, willing, I'm going to take a verse from Hebrews, where it says, for a will to be effective, there has to be the death of a testator. So we'll talk about the death of a testator, and is the New Testament a legal will? I'll answer that question for you. Does it meet all the requirements of a legal will? And of course, the answer is yes. But I'll answer for you. There's seven requirements for a will to be legal. I'll give you those seven next week, Lord willing. All right, so let's sing our invitation song. Let's stand as we do this. You know the commission. If you've not been baptized for remission of sins, you have that opportunity always. If you want to grant them for strength or encouragement or prayers or something, we can honor that request too. So let's sing this song with encouragement. If you need to respond in a public way, just simply let it be known at the close of the song.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him.
Thank you.